You know, last week we were talking about the pathway to the anointing. And in John 14:6, if you'll turn there, please, for a second. Just a quick review so we can continue on tonight's teaching. John 14. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Come and teach us. And bring your word alive in Jesus' name. And John 14 and hallelujah, verse 6. Let's read this together. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. Now we must understand something, that the way is a representation of the blood, which we talked about, because it's a representation of the cross. No one can come to Jesus and have fellowship with him without going through the blood of the Lamb. The truth, we must walk in truth so that we can get in the Spirit. Amen? In other words, it maintains that anointing. It's something that is, the anointing is available to us. It's the pathway to the anointing. The pathway to life is through the blood, the truth, through the blood and the truth. And as soon as one of those things get messed up, you'll find that the anointing begins to lift from us. It begins to lift. We find that we begin to go back into the flesh. We find that certain things begin to irritate us more. So, God, who Jesus is God, who is known as the Christ, came so that you and I could have the anointing. So when you look at Jesus, you look at him as the anointed one and his anointing. That he not only wanted to walk with his disciples, but he wanted to live in his disciples. Amen? Praise God. So tonight's teaching is called Maintaining the Anointing. We wanted to go from the pathway to the anointing to maintaining the anointing. And I want to share a few things about that tonight. So let's go to Matthew 5 first. Hallelujah. Matthew 5. Maintaining the anointing. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 13. Matthew 5:13. And let's read this together. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So you got to understand something. If you're the salt of the earth, it needs to have a flavor. I mean, salt's got a distinctive flavor, doesn't it? Wow. Does it have a distinctive flavor? And some people really love salt. I mean, they go after salt like mad. You know? But it's got a distinctive flavor. And we also know that salt is used to preserve, isn't it? So you and I are preserving something precious. Does everybody get that? You and I are preserving something precious. So if the salt loses its flavor. Let's go a little further. It is then good for what? Yeah. Nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by who?
Man.
Men. Let me tell you something. When the salt loses its flavor, or when you lose your zealousness, or when you begin to mess up and the anointing begins to lift, or you're walking out of Christ, the devil's going to use man to get at you. That's what he does, doesn't he? He uses man. The devil just doesn't show up all the time, does he? And say, hey, here I am, the devil. Hello? The Bible tells us not to throw our pearls before who?
Swine.
Swine. Well, he's not talking about pigs, is he? He's talking about those who would trample your pearls, those will trample your blessings, those will trample the testimony of Christ. That's why the Lord tells us to have fellowship with him so we know who to throw our pearls before, doesn't he?
Amen.
Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 14. You are the what? Light of the world. A city that is set on high cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in who?
Heaven.
In heaven. Remember, we talked about the pathway to the anointing was to bring glory to God, wasn't it? The anointing is to bring glory to God. So if we lose our flavor, or if the salt that we're preserving something precious loses that flavor, in other words, you and I must protect the anointing. Does everybody understand that? We must protect the anointing, and it's important. Why? Because we are the salt of the world and the light of the world. And without the protecting of the anointing, which is our responsibility, the salt loses its flavor and the light begins to get dim. Okay? Now, let's go to Mark 9. So it must be seasoned. Must be seasoned. And the anointing seasons me and you. Does everybody get that? In Mark 9. Is everybody all right here tonight?
Amen.
Okay. Praise be to God. In Mark 9 and verse 49. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mark 9, 49. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Praise be to God. So how do you season it? By fire. Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? You're to be seasoned by what? Fire. By the Holy Spirit. The anointing is a representation of the seasoning. Does everybody, am I losing anyone? The anointing is a representation of the seasoning, okay? We see here that the seasoning is the Holy Spirit or fire. Now watch. Go to Matthew 3. And verse 11. Matthew 3 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's read it together. And this is John speaking, right? John the Baptist is speaking. And what is he saying? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, the seasoning, the seasoning. That's why it's so important for me and you to maintain the anointing so that we can continue to be the salt and the light of this world. Did you ever notice believers who started off going on fire for God, they were doing good. You notice the anointing on their lives and all of a sudden you see them 2 years later and it's lifted. It's like, man, where's the anointing, man? Where's the anointing? That brother or sister's in the flesh, you can tell it. They've walked from underneath the anointing. And you know that they're engaged in more of the affairs of the world. They're talking about getting more fulfillment of the things of the world instead of the things of God. Why? Because you can tell them by their fruits. Amen? So we must maintain the anointing in our life. Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondages. The anointing keeps me and you free. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go to Acts 10. Acts 10. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God what? Anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Power.
Oh, you think fire has a representation to do with power also? So that one was going to come and baptize me and you with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? That's why when people get tongues, man, they're on fire. That's a representation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With tongues of fire. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, we see here, let's read verse 38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil. For God was with him. See, the salt and the light is allowing people to see God with you. God with you. If people don't see God with you, how are you going to witness Jesus? Because He is God that came to the earth. If they don't see power, you know, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not just word, but power. Amen. We must have power, don't we? We know that in the Bible, in the work, in Acts 1:8, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall have what? Power. So we need to have power to be a witness. Amen. We need to have power to be a witness. You know, I run across a lot of brothers who started off real good, and I know that some of them have been through jail and whatever. And next thing I know, the next thing they're doing is picking up a cigarette. And I share this all the time. You know what's happened? There's no power there no more. That's a sure sign of no more power. Why? Because now their flesh is leading them. Where's the witness? Where's the power? Amen? Go out, pick up another drink. Go out and do things that are desires of the world. Where's the witness? How can you tell someone about Jesus and have the power and the witness of Jesus Christ, the anointed one and His anointing, when we're still getting fulfilled on desires of creation or of the world and not of the Creator? Amen? Oh, God be the glory. We need to maintain that anointing. We need to maintain, and it's your responsibility and not my responsibility to maintain the anointing of God Almighty. Because the Bible tells us we can quench the Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Spirit can lift for me and you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must maintain the anointing, and that's what the teaching's about. Maintaining the anointing. Now, I want to go a little bit further before we get into this whole. I want to go to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. First Timothy 4:1. Is everybody there? Glory to God. And verse 1, let's read this together. Now the Spirit expressly says. Now what Spirit is this?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So we see here that the Holy Spirit is speaking, isn't He? The Spirit expressly says that what? In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now let me share something with you. The reason why they're going to take heed to these things, heed means listen. That means a demon's going to come up to you and try and deceive you, isn't he? He's going to try and lead you astray into doctrines of demons known as... Listen, a doctrine of demons just doesn't mean it's the Bible of Satan. It means the things that are taken out of the Word of God but falsified. Or things not preached. Hello? If God wants me and you to have power, then it should be preached that we need to have power.
Amen.
Do you know how many places that are not preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
That's a doctrine of demons.
That's
right. Does everybody understand that? If some place is not preaching power, that means they are deceived by the devil. And they are not preaching the truth. And that's why people are not getting free.
Amen.
It's our responsibility not only to lead someone to Jesus, but to lead them to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's our responsibility. If we're not telling them the truth, then it's a doctrine of a demon. Does everybody get it?
Yes.
Paul warned us. He said many would come and preach Jesus. They'll come and preach the same gospel, but it'll be a different Jesus. He warned us that many will come in His name. Now we know that many are out there preaching other things and saying that the gifts aren't for now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth are not for now. That's a doctrine of demon. Because it's not the truth. It's a lie. Now are they doing it on purpose? No, they're deceived, aren't they? Because that's what the devil does. He deceives. That's his job. We know that there wouldn't be denominations. It's a shame that when you go up to somebody who says they're a believer and they say, hi, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Pentecostal. That's a shame. Because we're children of the Most High God. There are no denominations in the Bible. That's known as doctrines of demons. But God deals with us as an individual, doesn't He? Amen? And that's a wonderful thing. You know, but it hurts my heart when somebody acknowledges their denomination instead of Christ. And I know it hurts the heart of God. But praise be to God. So, we see that there is deception, and that's the devil, right? So, in the anointing... Oh, praise God. Let's just go to John 14. Let the Word speak for itself. So many are going to depart from the faith, aren't they? You know why? The anointing's lifted. Hello? John 14. They're not walking in the Spirit, are they? Oh, to God be the glory. John 14 somewhere. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, let's start at verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, now this is Jesus speaking, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Oh, praise be to God.
Amen.
Jesus said what? Those who what? Believe in me. Now what does the word believe mean?
Follow.
Glory. Those who follow me, now if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ and the truth of the word, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you will pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, most assuredly I say to you, he who follows me or believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is a criteria. Now listen to this. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever.
Yeah.
Now, what is he saying? If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, if you love me, you'll follow me, and he's going to send you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does everybody get it? Okay. Now, in verse 17, this is what I love. Let's read this together. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Spirit of truth is going to what? He's going to guide me and you to all truth. Go to John 16 in verse 13. Somewhere around there. John 16, let's start at verse 12. I wouldn't want to skip this out. The importance of maintaining the anointing. Is everybody there? Okay, in verse 12 it says, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. However, when he, the what? Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So all things are mine and yours, aren't they? The what? The Spirit of truth. So why are there denominations? Spirit of error. They've not followed the truth. Does everybody understand that? That's why one place teaches one thing, one place teaches another. I mean, you know, why? Because they're not following and having fellowship with the Holy Ghost. They're running on what man has taught them and it's been sent down the line. Sent down the line. Taught by the mind, not by the Spirit. Does everybody get it? So when you and I have fellowship with the Spirit of truth, he's going to guide you to all truth and he's going to order your steps. Isn't it funny how he ordered our steps right here? To God be the glory. So it's important that you and I maintain the anointing so that we can be led to all truth. Amen? Now, of course, we talked about the pathway of the anointing, repenting quickly, right? And walking in the truth brings us to the anointing. Okay, now we want to maintain the anointing. Now, we just shared that many will fall from the faith. Why? Because they're going to take heed to deceiving spirits, aren't they? Doctrines of demons. They're going to listen to what a demon has told a man, and that man's going to tell somebody else. And lead them to the wrong doctrine. And never fulfill the promises of God in their life. You know, you and I are the ones that have got to fulfill the promises. They're available for me and you. But if you don't know them, how are you going to get them? Amen. If the Holy Ghost doesn't lead you to them, if he's going to lead you to all truth, right, then they're going to manifest in your life, aren't they? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Praise be to God. Is everybody all right here? Everybody with me? Oh, thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wow. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Now, we just saw that in the last days many will depart from the faith, right? Now we see here that we get another warning from Timothy in his second letter, right? This is the second letter. Now we see that he says there are going to be perilous times, which means things are going to get more difficult. Things are more difficult now than they were last year. More evil is being revealed. Things that are not easier to walk. That's why we must walk in the anointing. We must be able to give up everything for Christ. So perilous times will come and we're walking in those perilous times and it's going to get worse. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yow. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. You know, they come knocking on my door sometimes. Hi. Have a form of godliness. You know, have a form of godliness. Seem to be sweet people sometimes. You almost want to invite them in. Have a seat. Then you want to share the truth with them. And they run. I've had to chase some of them down the street. They wouldn't stay and listen. I wanted to grab them and pray with them. I started praying to the Holy Ghost. They almost fainted. What's this? We have one guy here. He was a Jehovah's Witness. I wanted to share with him the understanding. I had a whole teaching, 2 or 3 page teaching on the name of God, and I share with him. And the dude was like, I mean, they were running down the street from me. I finally got a hold of the dude, and I put the teaching right in his hand. You know. But praise God. And here we're talking again about they don't know the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost isn't guiding them to truth, isn't he? Right? So they're deceived. But they have a form of godliness. But they deny the power. So when they come to your house, just say, listen, I believe in Jesus. Can we pray? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hey, you might gain a pair of shoes. You never know. They might bless you with a pair of shoes. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now listen. Verse 6, okay? Verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible people. And I'm not just going to say women. Loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. You know, like you're going to hell if you don't go to church on Saturday. Hello? Okay. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're learning, but they're not coming to the truth because they don't have the spirit of truth to lead them. Does everybody get it? So they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power. Do you know any denominations that have demon or drug addict and they don't know what to do with them? People bound by drugs and alcohol and lust, they don't know what to do with them. But praise God, God raises up other ministries so that people can come to them. I remember we had a brother that was going to a church for 5 years. Pastor never cast out a devil or nobody ever, they didn't want to talk about that stuff. They taught her, they worked all around, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and casting out demons. And praise be to God, the man came to the service the first night and God delivered him instantaneously. And his wife was about to divorce him. Within 2 weeks, the whole family was praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they were reunited. Now they're out serving the Lord. Why? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Amen? The Spirit of truth. The Bible says it's truth that makes you free. Well, if you're not fellowshipping with the Spirit of truth, you're not going to have the truth. You're going to walk by fables. And become one of those, have a form of godliness but no power. Then you have to run away from your own self. Hallelujah. Always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now listen. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as also was. As there also was. So, they're not going to progress any further. In other words, they can't get any further in the Spirit. See, you can get knowledge, never have understanding. Always coming to the knowledge, or always learning, but never able to operate in the knowledge of the truth. And that's with wisdom, isn't it? In other words, you can have knowledge, but no wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom tells you how to use the knowledge. And if you don't know, if you don't have the truth or the knowledge, then the knowledge that you have is false. Is everybody with me? In other words, you can gain a lot of knowledge, but it might not be truth.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, I've had a lot of people quote, you know, first I went to go visit this guy in jail one day and I was waiting to get in and this preacher came up to me and he quoted a scripture to me. And I didn't know the location of, you know. He said the location. And the Holy Ghost let me know, because I didn't remember the location. It was about somebody with a pony, long hair.
Corinthians. Yeah.
He said Corinthians. And the Holy Ghost let me know. He says, he's talking about your hair, guy. I said, oh. I said, listen, brother, that's the difference between religion and relationship. And I left it at that. And I walked away and I went in to go visit this dude. You know, he was trying to, you know, it was blowing my mind. I didn't know the scripture, and the Holy Ghost quickened me to it. So, you know, I just share with the man, that's the difference between religion and relationship in a nice way, you know. But I didn't tell him, yeah, form of godliness or anything. I left it at that. Let the Holy Ghost deal with him afterwards. You know, my job was done. I went to go visit the brother. So we see that perilous times are here and they're going to get worse. We see that many believers are departing from the faith. Because they neither had the Holy Ghost from the beginning, or they walked with the Holy Spirit and broke covenant, or didn't maintain the anointing. Does everybody understand that? So it's very, very important that you and I maintain the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. Now we see here, we read it already, that seasoning is a representation of the Holy Spirit. So you and I are seasoned with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Somebody wants what you have. You taste good and look good. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what the anointing does. All right? What does the anointing do? In 1 Samuel, there's 7 things the anointing does in our life that we must, why we must maintain it. And 1 Samuel chapter 10, I know we've gone over some of these things already. That's okay.
Amen.
What does the anointing bring? Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 10. Glory to God. 7 things the anointing brings. In verse 6, can we read it together? Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and be turned into another man. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he became a what? Hallelujah. You become another man. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you become another man. Oh, to God be the glory. The Bible also tells us that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So see, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this is a whole other teaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God begins to manifest in you.
Amen.
With power. And you begin to walk in peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Not your own, but of God's. Is everybody with me? So we see here the first thing that we're talking about is the anointing comes on you, you become another man. You get turned into another man. You get new garments. Why? Because people see that you're a different person. Man, what happened to you? Bukarawa Siri Yaramoso. Whoa! Whoa! A sign! Man, where'd you pick that up? College? Is that Hebrew? No, man, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, praying through my spirit. Wow, how do you do that? Come here, let me lay hands on you. Hallelujah. So we see the anointing what? The first thing it does is turns us into another man. Not a man of the world, a man of the Spirit. Glory to God. The second thing it does, Acts 1:8. Hallelujah. Yeah, when I got off that plane in New Mexico, and the woman I was married to for 3 years, and or married to for 8 years, and divorced me, and and she was a nurse in New Mexico. I was getting ready to go to jail. Mandatory minimum, 4 years. Wanted to go say goodbye to her. She sent me tickets. Hallelujah. I was there on a Wednesday, got baptized in the Holy Ghost on a Monday. No, on a Saturday. So the Saturday before, I was going to go see her. I got off the plane. She said to me, "You're an alien." She poked me. "Who are you?" Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, turned me into another man. Yeah. Changed my whole countenance, my tongue, everything. Poked me. "Who are you?" "You're an alien." Amen. "I ain't from this world. Amen. To God be the glory." Amen. In Acts 1:8, hallelujah. "But you shall receive what?
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a what?
Witness
to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So the second thing that the anointing does to me and you is makes us a witness with power. A witness with power. Spiritual strength. Spiritual power. It makes me and you a witness with power. Nobody says no more, "Oh man, you know, that dude's got a form of godliness, but he can never walk it. He ain't got no power." A form of godliness. Well, thus says the Lord. A form of godliness, but no power. A lot of knowledge, no power. No understanding. You know, we had this guy in our class in jail, and you know, we were praising and worshiping the Lord, and he came up to me. He says, "You know, I respect your zealousness for God." I said, "Well, I thank you." He said, "But I have a discrepancy in your words." He says, "I've walked with the Lord for 17 years. And he had a discrepancy. He says, "I've been in and out of colleges and the teachings of the Bible." And he was trying to explain to me about Joel 2:28. I said, "Brother, you're deceived. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost so you know the truth." Oh, did he get offended? He kept telling, he went around to everybody, telling everybody, I told him he didn't have the Spirit. He was offended. I told him he didn't have the Spirit and that he is a danger to those he's teaching for his 17 years of whatever. Yeah. You know, I tried to explain to him, you know, well, obviously something's not right because I'm the one teaching and you're the one in jail. Something can't be right. Hello. Oh, man, he would buck at me every time I'd come in. Buck at me every time I come in. And the wild thing is his name was Die. His name was Die. Strange name. But he needed to die to himself. But that's okay. You know, I prayed for him for a long time. Hopefully something happened by now. The third thing that happens. Hallelujah. In Luke 4. In Luke 4. Glory to God. Matthew, Mark, Luke 4. Is everybody there? And verse 18. Now, I want everybody, first of all, to look at this and understand that this is the first thing Jesus began to preach. This, he went into the synagogue, didn't he? He went back into the synagogue and he says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Praise be to God. Because he has a what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. In other words, if you are not anointed to preach the gospel, don't preach it.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Now, it's not, don't get me wrong. It's nothing wrong with planting the seed. Amen? The Holy Spirit says that he has anointed those to be apostles, right? Pastors, evangelists, teachers, and so forth. So the anointing of the Spirit of God must be upon us so that we can preach the gospel in truth and spirit and in power.
Amen.
Amen. So we see here, he says also, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed by who? The devil. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me share this with you. The anointing of God by the Spirit of God brings you boldness and purpose. He brings you boldness and purpose. You no longer have fellowship with the wicked.
Amen.
You no longer have fellowship with the wicked. He brings you boldness and purpose. That's the what? The third thing that the anointing of the Holy Spirit brings. We must know what the anointing brings, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the fourth thing it's that the anointing brings is in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:17. I think so many times this seems to be erased out of many people's Bibles. I don't know why. 2 Corinthians 3:17. But let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil of what? Over the scales of the eyes. The veil that does the veil that prevents people from getting the truth out of the Word of God. Amen? You know, you could study this Bible for a lifetime and still not get it all. Because there's so much in here. Because it's beyond the letters. It's in the Spirit. So it says that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the next verse explains who the Lord is. Now let's read it. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Freedom. So we must understand that the anointing brings what? Freedom. The Bible tells us that the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage off of our life. You will have rest and you will have peace, won't you?
Amen.
Because the freedom is there. And that's what I share with people. If you're not, if you're bound, if you're worried, if you're confused, frustrated, tormented, there's no freedom in that, is there?
No.
So you got to get in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom.
Amen.
That's what happens sometimes. You know, you'll be at work and stuff and you'll be all frustrated. Oh, man, I'm ready to kill this person. Oh, man. Start praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Get in the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord brings you freedom.
Amen.
When you find yourself frustrated, stop what you're doing and go pray.
Amen.
Sometimes you need somebody to tell you, go pray. Go pray. Shut up and go pray. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Ghost is telling me and you, go pray. Go pray. Drop what you're doing and go pray. It's for our own benefit, isn't it?
Amen.
Man, and there's nothing wrong. Just start ripping off in the Holy Spirit while you're driving.
Amen.
The person next to you thinks you're singing anyways. You know, you're praying in the Holy Spirit and they're going, man, look at that dude. Must be some good music. You just be praying in the Holy Ghost. Put your hands lifted up. And your knees doing the steering wheel. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see the first thing that the anointing brings is a new man. Holy garments. The second thing is witness of power, spiritual strength. The third thing is boldness and purpose. The fourth thing is freedom, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And the fifth thing is, of course, I already said it, but let's go to it. Isaiah 10:27. Hallelujah. The anointing, Isaiah. 10:27. Hallelujah. Seven things the anointing brings and the purposes of why we must maintain the anointing. Glory to God. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, I'm talking about the yoke being destroyed. You know, some people have been walking with the Lord for a long time. They still cuss. They still do other things that they're bound to, right? When they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden those things are busted off of them because the anointing destroys the yoke. Now, of course, we know if we don't maintain the anointing, those things can come right back on. Everybody get it? They can come right back on. Praise be to God. So the fifth thing is they are loose from sin and Satan. Does everybody get it? You become loosed from sin and Satan because now you have dominion over him, don't you? The sixth thing that the anointing brings, Acts 19. Lutoroko shotrovoso. I love you, Lord. Acts 19. Oh, thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you for the anointing. In verse 11. Hold on one second. I just want to read verse 6 quickly. It says, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Whoa, something happened. When Paul had laid hands on them, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The transfer of the anointing was there. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now I'll go to verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Sounds like a form of godliness, but nigh the power. They're trying to cast out a devil in the name of Jesus, but they didn't have Jesus. And they said, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus, by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out that house naked and wounded. You see something? You got to have the anointing. If you're going to go try and cast out a devil without the anointing, that devil's going to eat you up. Or he ain't going to budge. Hello? So we see here the sixth thing that the anointing brings is signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. It brings you dominion. The anointing brings you dominion. Is everybody with me? The anointing brings dominion. And Jesus said in Mark 16:16-17, and those who follow me, right, or those who believe in me will cast out devils and pray and speak in new tongues, right? Also with this, I want to share with you, I want to bring this same number six, besides dominion and signs and wonders, because gifts are signs and wonders. Gifts of the Spirit are signs and wonders. So it also brings gifts of the Spirit, and that's in 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 1 and verse 11. You can write that down. So the anointing brings what? Not only signs and wonders of power or dominion over powers of darkness and healings, but also the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? And the seventh thing that the anointing brings is in 2 Kings chapter 13. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 13. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And that's why I want to put out my life.
Hallelujah.
Just be baptized. They don't believe in the sign.
Hallelujah. Okay, in chapter 13 and verse 14. We'll read this together. Elijah had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joaz, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elijah said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So that he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on the bow, and Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times, then you have struck Syria till you had destroyed. But you now will strike Syria only three times. Then Elijah died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet. He became what? Alive. Not only does the anointing bring life, but it brings remembering favor of God's grace. Does everybody understand that? It brings, listen, when David realized that the ark, God's presence, was bringing favor, remember it was in that dude's house? So what did he do? He went to go get the ark, didn't it? It brought him favor, didn't it? The anointing brings you favor and blessing. Well, in this circumstance, that anointing brought remembering. A remembering favor of who Elijah was. When that dead man touched that anointing was still there on a dead man's bones. It was still there. That anointing was still there. Man, I would have carried one of his bones around in my pocket.
Amen.
I'm telling you. They could have called me bonehead all they wanted, but it would have been anointed. Hallelujah. So we see here that seven things. It brings change, witness, and power. Freedom, or boldness and purpose. Freedom. Loose from sin and Satan. Brings signs and wonders and power. And it brings God's remembering grace or favor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now that we know what the anointing brings, now we must know what to protect the anointing. Amen? But before we can go to that, I got to share with you three quick things. Is everybody with me? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Okay. The first thing that the anointing does, I want you to understand, is the first thing it does is it draws us. It draws us. In John 6:54, it says that the Father draws you by the Holy Spirit. Number one. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
The scripture is John 6:54. Also in reference to that, in John 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed on His disciples. Does everybody understand it? Jesus was standing before them. He said, listen, I command you to go, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So He breathed upon them, didn't He? He breathed upon them. What was it doing? Drawing them. It was holding Him and drawing them so that they would stay and go to the upper room, stay in Jerusalem, and go to the upper room and stay there. Does everybody understand that? So the first part of the anointing draws me and you to God. And then even draws an unbeliever, doesn't it? To God. Okay. The second part of the anointing is known as the priestly anointing, where you and I are anointed. The first office God gives me and you is the priestly anointing, where we minister to the Lord. Okay? That anointing, and you can use this in Exodus 28:41, it's the priestly anointing. That anointing is not used for fighting devils or to be a warrior. That anointing is used to minister to the Lord. Okay? That anointing is used to minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the third part of the anointing, praise be to God, is where in 2 Samuel 5, or 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, and chapter 5 and verse 3, I'm just giving you these references, is where David became a king after many years of service and is now a full armored warrior for the Lord. So we see the third part of the anointing makes me and you a warrior. Okay? Because in Acts 5, here's another reference to it, in Acts 5, 12 through 15, we see that the anointing increases.
Amen.
The anointing increases. Acts 5, verse 12 through 15, the anointing increases. So we see the first part of the anointing when you and I are baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? People are drawn to you, aren't they? You and I were drawn to the Lord.
Amen.
So the first anointing draws. The second anointing is priestly. And the third part of the anointing is warrior, where you and I fight devils then, or fight the power, take dominion, the powers over the darkness. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, to God be the glory. Now, how to protect the anointing. The first thing that protects the anointing or maintaining the anointing in your life and my life, the first thing that we must have is a prayer life. Does everybody understand that? The devil always tries to push you out of prayer. Just like I shared. How are we going to maintain the anointing? The first thing is prayer. When you feel frustrated, pull over to the side of the road. Begin to pray.
Amen.
While you're praying, pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Prayer. Prayer and seeking God. I want to give you a reference on that. That's 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. It says to pray and seek God. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. Prayer. And of course, we know that the Bible says in Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost builds up your most holy faith.
Amen.
So we must pray. And Matthew 6:33, these are references of prayer. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all things will be added to you. Amen. In fact, Jesus, in Luke, here's another reference, in Luke 22, verses 39 through 43, we see Jesus was strengthened by the angels. What did the angels do? They came and brought more of God's presence to Him. Does everybody understand that? Man, one day I was working on the roof. And it was, unfortunately, I think it was in May. Was it? Hot. But I decided to take on this project myself. I was re-roofing my roof. And man, I was dying. I mean, I was dying. I was about to collapse. I said, Lord, please send your angels and strengthen me. I'm telling you, within 2 minutes, I was revived. A wind blew around me. Hallelujah. And I was up there pounding and laying. What happened? The anointing increased on my life. I got revived. So what did I do? I asked. I prayed. So the first thing to maintain the anointing in your life is prayer. Prayer. You must understand, you must not only maintain it and keep it up, but you must protect it. That's our responsibility. Amen? The second thing we know, being in this ministry, is worship. Worship! No worship, no anointing. No worship, no anointing. I don't care how much teaching, how much Bible studying you're reading, and no worship, no anointing. You have a word of dry bones. Hallelujah. And John 4, and verse 23 and 24, the Bible says that the Father looks for worshipers. He looks for worshipers. So while you're worshiping, you're getting refreshed, aren't you?
Amen.
You're getting refreshed. He tells us here that God is looking for those who will worship Him in truth and in what?
Spirit.
Amen. Another reference is John 9, 31. The Lord says, God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner, but a prayer of a worshiper. Wow. Why? Because the anointing helps you destroy the yoke of bondages of sin. So if you're a worshiper, you're not practicing sin. Amen? If you're a worshiper, you're not practicing sin. So you see here that worship, God hears the prayers of a worshiper. Worship increases the anointing in your life. Amen? The next thing is fellowship. Fellowship. In Psalm 133, it tells us about how good it is for brethren to dwell together. It talks about the ointment that runs down the beard from Aaron onto his garments. Hallelujah. So we see that fellowship is important. Did you ever notice that when you're going through a struggle and you get together, Even as you come into the house, or the house of the Lord, or a prayer meeting or something, man, you notice that just getting together with believers, there's like a, oh, whew, there's like a freedom beginning to happen already because people are carrying the anointing with them. So fellowship is very, very important. In Matthew 18, verse 20, the Bible says, when two or more are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst, isn't He? So we must have fellowship. Not only that, if you ever notice, the full armor of God is everywhere but your back.
Mm-hmm.
With fellowship, your back is protected. Amen?
Amen?
Your back is protected. So fellowship is important. Not only that, you might not see something where somebody else does. And you know, the sheep, who wants to eat the sheep? The wolf. And what he wants to do is remove one from the flock. So he begins to speak to us. Man, you know, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. You don't need to worship God. You don't, you know. Well, we know that's a lie from hell. And taking heed of a deceiving spirit. The next thing you know, we're listening to that voice of the stranger. And within a few days, we're going through struggles. Big time. Big time. So fellowship is very, very important. Amen? The next thing is humbling ourselves. The Lord says, if you be humbled, He'll exalt you. in James 4, verses 6 through 10, and I'd like to go there, please. James 4, 6 through 10. Glory, hallelujah. Maintaining the anointing. Maintaining the anointing. Is everybody there? Praise be to God. James 4. And verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. So you know what? If you're exalting yourself, you're not submitting, are you? If you're humble, you're submitting to God. That's why the Bible tells us to depart from evil. And we must depart from evil. Verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now let me share something with you. Without the maintaining of the anointing, you become double-minded. Amen, big time. You become double-minded. You get tossed to and fro. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Let's go to the... Let's go to the next one. Lament, the next verse. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will what?
Lift
you up. Lift you up. Maintaining the anointing. Prayer. Worship. Fellowship. Humbling. And one of the wonderful ways of humbling yourself is fasting. Fasting. Fasting is the last thing I want to talk about. Fasting. It's important that we fast. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Hallelujah. Some of us need to go on about a year fast. Then we'll be glorified. You'll be dead. Praise God. Next time we see you, you'll have a glorified body. Hallelujah. Fasting. And we've talked about fasting before. And not only is it about fasting of food, but it's a fasting of the world.
Amen.
Fasting of the world. It's time we started fasting. Glory to God. And Psalm 35, verse 13. Everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read it together. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer returned to my own heart. In other words, his prayer got answered. What did he humble himself with? Fasting. He was sick, wasn't he? So he humbled himself with fasting, and God healed him. To God be the glory. So humble yourself with fasting. And Matthew 17. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Matthew 17. Ha, ha. Glory to God. In verse... Okay. Is everybody there? And verse 14. This is about Jesus and his disciples. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus answered them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. So what was he telling them? Lack of faith. Let's go on further. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now understand this. Prayer and fasting isn't moving the hand of God. God's hand has already moved. The fasting is positioning me and you in a place where our faith is increased. Fasting is chastening your flesh, or putting it, your flesh and your soul under submission, so that your spirit can arise in faith. Amen? Is everybody with me?
Amen.
So God's hand is already ready to move. Fasting doesn't move the hand of God. It moves you in position so the hand of God can move through you. Is everybody with me? It's so important. Fasting. Now, like I shared before, fasting is just not about fasting food. It's about fasting the world. Why do you want to protect the anointing? Why do you want to maintain the anointing? So you can continue to be the witness.
Amen.
Of God's love, of His power, of His truth. Amen?
Amen?
So let me repeat this. What brings the anointing? And what maintains it? Prayer, worship, fellowship, humbling, and fasting. Amen?
Amen?
Praise be to God. So, let's take what the Holy Spirit has shared with us tonight, and let's begin to use it. And let Him work through each and every one of us.
Amen.
That we may be that witness and sign and wonder. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your mercies and Your grace. I plead the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted here tonight. We ask that You give us the strength to be obedient to the ways of maintaining the anointing, that signs and wonders would follow us, and that we would bring glory to Your name and expand Your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name.